I want to invite you to take your Bible and stand. Would you do that? Take your Bible and stand. I want you to be able to stretch. I feel about a 60-minute message coming on. I want you to take your Bible and stand. We're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Every time I go to Israel, I baptize people in the Jordan River. It's neat because every time I go, I think about here I'm baptizing people, literally in the place where John the Baptist baptized people. But more than that, here where John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was baptized in there at the Jordan River, and he looked up and he saw somebody coming. It was none other than Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I want to take a few moments, and I want to talk to you about the importance of blood. The importance of the blood. Two men were at a blood bank. They had just given blood. They were on gurneys, and one of the men was a Caucasian man, and the other man was an American Indian. And the Caucasian looked over at the old Indian, and he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, well, let's have it. He said, are you a full-blooded Indian? He said, no, I'm a pint short. Well, the Bible tells us this. It tells us in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Do you realize your heart, my heart, weighs about 12 ounces? It weighs about 12 ounces. It beats 75 times a minute, pumping 45 pounds of blood per minute. Every 30 seconds, all of your blood passes through your heart. See, folks, you can't survive without the blood, because blood is necessary for physical life. But I want you to know something else. Blood is necessary for spiritual and eternal life. See, it's Hebrews 9 and 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. See, it's always, somebody said, well, Pastor Benny, it was the law and it was different dispensations. No, no, you've got to understand. It's always been the blood. It's always been the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Let me explain. You remember God put Adam and Eve in this wonderful garden? And God's plan was for Adam and Eve to live forever there in that garden. And God's plan was for us all to live forever in that garden. And he said, Adam and Eve, don't you eat of that one tree. Don't eat of that tree. Because when you do, you'll die. And it brought death upon all of us. Literally, Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home. I mean, it happened. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. But anyway. And Adam and Eve sinned. And then they realized they were naked. And they made them clothes out of fig trees. But that had to be very uncomfortable. And God did something. The scripture tells us in Genesis 3 and 21 that God made them clothes. You say, oh, that's so good. They were naked. God made them clothes. No, no, no. You don't understand. What did he make them clothes out of? He made them clothes out of a sacrifice. What God was saying with the very first people is, I'm offering up a sacrifice for Adam and Eve's sin. See, it's always, ladies and gentlemen, it's always, and it always will be, the blood. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, there's a story. The Israelites had been in bondage for 400 years. The Pharaoh of Egypt, this wicked man, this wicked Pharaoh of Egypt, I want you to understand, he drowned babies in the Nile River. He took those little Hebrew babies and he drowned them in the Nile River. And literally, the Israelites were nothing but slaves for 400 years. But I want you to understand something, folks. A principle of God is a principle of God, whether it was in that day or in 2017. God said this. He said those that bless Israel is going to be blessed. And those that curse Israel is going to be cursed. And I want you to know, folks, it matters not who the president of the United States is. Let me tell you something. If that individual does not support Israel, he's leading us or she's leading us down a dangerous path. America should always support Israel. God said he'd bless America if America blesses Israel. God said he'd bless you if you bless Israel. It's a principle. And the day came, God sent 9 plagues, and he said, I've had it. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. And this is what God said I'm going to do. For years I preached the death angel came through. The Bible doesn't say that. It says nothing about a death angel. God said, I'm coming through. God said, I'm coming through. And God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to smite the very firstborn of every Egyptian family. I'm going to kill the very firstborn of every Egyptian family. I'm not only going to kill the firstborn of the family, I'm going to kill the firstborn of the animals. It's going to cause a disturbance, and the Israelites can go free. I'm going to kill the firstborn. But he said to the children of Israel, here's what I want you to do. Above the door of your house, I want you to take blood. And he said, above the door of your house, you put blood on the doorpost. But he said, not only do you put blood on the doorpost, you put blood on the side of the door. And he said, not only one side, but you put blood on the other side. And here's what he said. He said, when I come through and I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I come through, I'll know that's an Israeli household. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So when John said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world, from this story, those people knew exactly what he was talking about. See, folks, they can call it a gory religion, but I want to report to you in 2017, it's still the blood. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. Now, I want to show you 5 things right quickly. The first thing I want you to see today is the blood shows us God's love. The blood shows us God's love. In the New Testament, there are 290 references to the love of God, but there are 1,300 references to the blood of Jesus. You know, for years, my wife and I guess said this. My wife said, the place for animals is outside. I said that in the 8:30 service, and people said, amen. My wife said, the place for animals is outside. The place for animals is not inside. But we had a daughter, and Savannah begged for a dog. And we got a Yorkie, and his name was Spunky. And this is what I found out. Spunky was the only clean animal in the world. Because guess what? Spunky could sleep in the bed with us. He was that clean. Now we have a Yorkie named Murphy. And he's the only other clean animal in the world. Because he can sleep in the bed with us. Now here's what happened. We got very attached to those animals. I never noticed this until this week, studying the scripture. God said in Exodus chapter 12, this is what I want every family to do. You get a little baby lamb, one that's less than a year old. No, not a big one. Just a Just a lamb. Did you ever eat lamb? It's not bad. Just a baby lamb. And here's what's interesting. God said, you get that lamb, you cut his throat. That blood will roll down into a bowl. That lamb, you take that lamb's blood, you put it on the doorpost. But here's what was interesting. You get that lamb on the 10th day, but you don't split that lamb's throat to the 14th day. You're going to emotionally bond with that little baby. You're going to get close to it. And then I want you to cut its throat. And God was reminding us that he loved his son. He was attached to his son. He loved his son in a way we can't imagine. But ladies and gentlemen, he ripped his throat. And he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he took that blood. He took that blood and he put that blood at the top of that doorpost. He put that blood on each side of that doorpost. And there's not a bit of doubt in my mind when I looked at that picture. That blood was at the top. That blood was on each side. But that blood being upon the top of that doorpost, it would have drained all the way down. That blood would have ran all the way down. So you had blood here. You had blood there. You had blood there. You had blood running down. You had the cross. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It was a typology of the cross. Let me tell you something. The blood shows us God's love. But I'll tell you something else. The blood shows us God's liberation. The blood shows us God's liberation. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Here's what I want you to see. They'd been in bondage 400 years. And folks, many of us were in bondage to things. And we try to overcome it. But we don't seem to overcome it. But here's what God showed me. Notice what the scripture says in Exodus. And Pharaoh rose up in the night. Now listen, the firstborn of every Egyptian was dead at this time. He and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. And he said, arise. Get you forth from among my people. Both ye and the children of Israel, go and serve the Lord if you say it. He said, listen, you're free. You're free. When was they free? Ladies and gentlemen, they was free when the blood was applied. What will set you free is the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to your life. The blood of Jesus Christ. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All the blood shows us God's love. The blood secures God's liberation. Here's the third thing the blood does. The blood sets us in a new direction. You know, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, God said, here's what I want you to get. Today, the day that the blood's applied, I'm going to set and start the Jewish calendar. When did the Jewish calendar start? When did the 12 months of the Jewish calendar start? Right here. What God was saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new beginning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I was reading this week about Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer. God, he was an ugly guy. Martin Luther said, one night he had a dream. And he said in the dream, the devil came to the foot of his bed. And he said the devil pulled down this scroll. And Martin Luther said, it listed all my sins. It listed those things I'd thought about. It listed everything. And then a voice said to me, what hope do you have, miserable sinner? But he said, another voice said to me, tell him to pull the scroll all the way down. And I said, pull the scroll all the way down. And the devil said, no. And I said, in the name of Jesus, pull the scroll all the way down. And he pulled it all the way down. And this is what it said. The entire sin account of Martin Luther has been paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you the fourth thing that the blood does. The blood solidifies our past, our present, and our future. God said, you take and you put blood over the doorpost. But by the way, folks, there's nothing in the Bible just to be in the Bible. God said in Exodus 22, when you put blood over the doorpost, you take a piece of hyssop. You take hyssop. You place it over the doorpost. And then, when Jesus died in John chapter 19, and they walked up and they wanted to give him vinegar, they did it with a piece of hyssop. It wasn't coincidental. When Jesus saw the hyssop, that's why the very next verse, he said, it is finished. Thank God he didn't say, I am finished. He says, it is finished. The sin debt has been paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You say, Pastor, but what if after I've become a Christian, I sin? There's no what if. I'm not giving you a license to sin, but there's no what if. It will happen. You say, well, what did I do? Listen to what the Bible says. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. It doesn't say has cleansed. It doesn't say will cleanse. It's in the present tense. That means it cleanses now, and it keeps on cleansing. You're going to mess up. But what will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, but wait, Pastor. What if I've confessed something 500 times? What do you recommend? Will he forgive me if I've confessed it 500 times? Yes. Because he don't remember the other 500 times. He has forgotten about it. And he has forgiven you. You say, oh, but Brother Benny, I've messed up so bad since I became a Christian. You don't know all the things I've done. What do you recommend? Here's what I recommend. What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me give you one more. Oh, thank God for the blood, folks. The blood sends a message to others. The blood sends a message to others. Now let me explain. When they left, according to Exodus 12:36, the Egyptians said, here, take our gold with you. Take our watches with you. Take our rings with you. And according to verse 38, some of them wanted to go also, and perhaps some of them did. But here's what I want you to see. This is so, so important. The blood sends a message to others. Now, here's what I want you to get. Can you imagine? God said, Benny, you go out there and you put blood over your doorpost. Can you imagine the guy comes and he says, what are you doing? I said, well, I've sacrificed this lamb. I'm right now painting blood. I'm painting blood over the doorpost. You know what they'd say? He's a nut. He's crazy. What kind of man kills a baby lamb, takes the blood, puts it over his door? And here's the message I want you to see, folks. We live in a culture where our culture says we got to be like the world. We got to act like the world. We got to be so worldly. Oh, if we're going to reach people for Christ, oh, goodness, the preacher's got to preach in flip-flops, and he's got to have shorts on and a... got to unbutton his shirt and have a long chain. Oh, let them drink Starbucks. Are we just everybody comfortable? Folks, I want to go on record as saying, as long as I'm the pastor of Rock Springs Church, this is not a concert, this is a church. Yeah, if you're wanting that, this is the wrong place. It's not going to be that. We're here to worship God. We just got to act like the world. We got to dress like the world. We got to be like the world. We got to do everything. Here, young people, listen to this. Listen to this. You'll never make a difference until you are different. No, you'll never be followed by a crowd. You'll never be followed by a crowd as long as you follow the crowd. We're in this world in contact, but we're not in this world in conduct. And God has called us to be a peculiar people. We're to be different. We're to act different. We're to look different. We're to respond different. Our families ought to be different because we're children of the Most High God. Oh, they probably look silly. But ladies and gentlemen, there was something different. There was something different about them homes that had the blood over the doorpost. And there'll be something different, folks. There'll be something different about homes that have the blood of Jesus Christ in our lives. And let me tell you something. That blood sends a message to others. Let me tell you a story. Our musicians are coming and I'm done. I really believe with every fiber of my being, we had an 8:30 service. Probably 10 people in that service gave their lives to Christ. See, I still believe that Jesus Christ changes people's lives. I want to tell you, as your pastor, I'm not everything that I ought to be. But I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Jesus Christ is changing my life. He's changing my life. And I remember years ago when I first started preaching, high energy, low IQ. Just going at it. Had a man to get saved. He was just an old drunk. He had neglected his wife. He had neglected his children. He lived hard. He may have been 55 or 60, but he looked 80. Because sin, folks, whether we like it or not, it takes a toll on us. It takes a toll on your body. It's a high price. Elvis Presley said, there's a high price for low living. And it took a toll on him. But old Herbert Jones came down an aisle, this big, tall, lanky man, and gave his life to Christ. And Herbert had sang in bars and nightclubs and taverns. And I got him to start singing in the church. And he'd play his guitar and he'd sing. And I'd get him to sing this song right here. Bill Gaither wrote this song. But it was Herbert's life. And this is the song. Herbert said, today I went down to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. And then Herbert would get to this verse. He would pick a little bit. And he would say, this actually happened. He said, then I went down to the house where I used to live. He said, my little boy, Herbie, he ran and hid behind the door. And I said, Herbie, you don't have to be afraid now. You've got a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, That daddy don't live here anymore. See, folks, the blood of Jesus Christ washes people's sins away. The blood of Jesus Christ liberates. No matter what you've done, God's blood washes it clean. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. No matter, you say, Pastor, but I've messed up since I've been a Christian. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash away that mess up. That's what the blood's for. That's what the blood's for.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.